and with us as we share with you the Word of God today. I want to say that I have enjoyed being here in Honduras for my first time. I trust it won't be the last time.
Amen.
The Lord will allow us to come back and be glad that you pray for us. And of course, you have a hearty welcome to Dallas. If you're ever in the States, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We want to deal a little bit this evening with, if I'm going to give a title to this, would be What is in Thine Hand? And I thought about the scriptures. When we read the Bible, it is a very practical book. So in other words, it's very easy for us to follow. Once we get into it and we read the stories that are in it, it's a book of stories. Stories of individuals and their individual lives, what they went through. It's something that God, I believe the Lord, put in the Bible, put the Bible together like this. And we understand that it is the inspired Word of God. I don't want to take away from that at all. It is the inspired Word of God. But it is a series of stories about men's lives. Yes. And it's a series of stories about men's lives, men that were just like you and I, that had nothing special about them. Some were rich, some were poor, some were somewhere in between. Some were educated, some were uneducated. The various things that we have in the Scriptures are people just like you and I. And I think of it like this because I believe the reason that the Lord did it like this was to show you and me that we can live this. It's a practical way of life. And in the stories of those men's lives, what we see are the principles of righteousness. We see their interaction. We see their relationship with one another, with mankind. We see their relationship with God Himself. But yet, these stories are no different, really, than the stories that you and I have about our own lives. I believe what can actually happen is that the Lord can actually replace Paul's name with some of us. I believe He can replace some of the names of the individuals in the Scriptures with our names. And it can be inspired in a way that we realize that this is practical to the point that I can live this. And so I want to say to you, those of you today that may not be saved, those of you that may be in a place of discouragement, those of you that are encouraged to live for the Lord, I want to encourage you that this is a practical way of life. Yeah. It is something that you can do. Yeah. And I believe the Lord wants you to do that. We want to turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter, and I want to start reading at the first verse. We're going to read a story about a man named Moses.
Yes.
God had done something very special for Moses. We dealt with it a little bit on one of the previous messages. But we want to talk a little bit about Moses and what God was calling Moses to do. We're going to start at the first verse of the 4th chapter of Exodus. If you have it, you can read it for us, please.
Moses answered and said,
But behold,
they will not believe me.
They won't hearken unto my voice.
But they will say,
The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
And the Lord said unto him,
all right, I want to stop here. Give us a little background of what has taken place. The Lord had appeared to Moses, and they told Moses, I've seen the children of Israel. They've been in the land of Egypt, and they have been under bondage. I have a desire. It is my desire to deliver the children of Israel from this place and take them to the land of Canaan. But I need a man to do that. I need somebody as a leader to do that. And the Lord tapped Moses on the shoulder and said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go talk to the children of Israel. Tell them that I have talked to you. And I want you to let them know that my desire is for you to lead them out into a place that I of my choosing. And he said, not only do I want you to do that, but I want you to go to the Pharaoh. I want you to go to the Egyptian king, and I want you to explain to them that God's desire is for them to allow my people to go. Now, Moses was a man just like you and I. This is why we want us to understand that the Bible is part of what we see in the Bible is just stories about men just like you and I. He had insecurities. He had inabilities. There were things about Moses that Moses felt like, there's no way that I can do this. And so this is his conversation with God. He said, Lord, I can't do that because if I do that, these people are going to say they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to my voice. They're going to say the Lord didn't appear to you, Moses. Read.
And the Lord said unto him,
What is that in thine hand?
And he said a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground.
And it became a serpent.
And Moses fled from before.
Now, God in His wisdom understood Moses' insecurities and Moses' inability. He realized that Moses was not a man that wanted to run to the forefront and be at the head of something. And so, but he realized that, Moses, I've got to convince you first in order to get you to do what I'm calling for you to do. So what did he tell Moses? He said, Moses, what do you have? I don't want you to go and look around at what everybody else have. What do you have?
Yes.
What is that in your hand? And he said, it's a rod. He said, all right, I want you to throw the rod down. He threw the rod down. The rod became a serpent. Now, I want us to understand something here. In Moses' obedience to God, God convinced Moses that he could do anything. All right? And whatever situation he would be confronted with, God would be able to take care of that situation. But first he had to use what he had. He threw the rod on the ground. And you know, I believe that it's important that he threw the rod on the ground. What if the Lord had made it a snake? And it was in Moses' hand. I went scuba diving yesterday. And beautiful, beautiful place. I didn't go into the deep water. I was a little bit afraid of that. But I saw what I think was a snake underwater. And I was out swimming, and it was pretty calm until I saw the snake. When I saw the snake, I was about through with scuba diving. So there's not very many people that like snakes, right?
Yes.
So if the Lord had, Moses was holding this rod and then it turned to a snake, he wouldn't have had to tell Moses to let it loose, would he? He would have dropped it. So the Lord, in His wisdom, told Moses, drop it first. I want to show you something. I want to show you what I can do. He turned that into a snake. And then what did he do? He told Moses, read.
And Moses fled before it.
Yes.
Put forth thine hand.
Now put forth thine hand.
And take it by the tail.
And he put forth his hand.
And caught it.
And it became a rod in his hand.
That they may believe
that the Lord God of their fathers,
the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob,
had appeared unto thee. So the Lord wanted to tell Moses that I'm going to do something special, but the first thing that Moses had to do was obey God. The first point of a test that the Lord wants to give anybody, any one of us here, is obedience. Every one of us can obey what God tells us to do. We may not have much. It may not be that we have what our neighbors have or the person sitting on the bench next to you. We may not have that, but we have what God has given us. Our responsibility is to obey God and whatever He tells us to do with it, we do that. So He told Moses to drop it. Moses obeyed. And he fled away from it. When the Lord did something special with it, then he said, Moses, I want you to grab it by his tail. Moses reached down and grabbed it by his tail. It became a rod again. What I want us to understand and what I believe the Scriptures here are pointing out is God wants you and I to be obedient. Whatever He tells us to do,
yes.
He wants us to do it. Sometimes, even if we're afraid of doing it. Here we understand that Moses was afraid of the snake because he fled from it. But when the Lord told him, I want you to touch it, I want you to pick it up, even though I believe in the very depths of my heart that Moses was a little bit fearful, but when God told him to do it, he wasn't afraid anymore. So he reached down, grabbed the tail, because, Lord, you told me to do it. I know that that was a rod. I know what that was before I dropped it. And now I see that you've turned it into something else, and now I'm going to trust you. I'm going to reach down. I'm going to pick this thing up, because by faith, I'm going to believe that it's not going to bite me. Whatever it is, you're going to allow. Whatever to happen to it that you want to happen to it, I'm just going to obey. Yeah. So our responsibility in doing the things of God, every one of our responsibility, the basic theme throughout the Scripture is to obey what we understand the Lord to tell us to do. All of us. All right. So sometimes I believe we come to places in our experience where we say, Lord, I just can't do that. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, I just don't know. It doesn't seem like this makes very much sense for you to require this of me, because you see my inadequacy. This is what Moses did. As we go on down, I want us to read, drop down to the 10th verse. Read a little bit there, starting at 10.
And Moses said unto the Lord,
yes.
Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent.
Neither heretofore.
Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant,
but I am slow of speech,
and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him,
Who hath made man's mouth?
Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind?
Have not I the Lord?
Now therefore go,
and I will be thy mouth.
And teach thee what thou shalt say.
So the Lord here is saying, I realized, Moses, when I called you to do the things that I wanted you to do, when I had it in my mind, and I put it in my mind to use you in this particular capacity, I knew that you couldn't speak. I knew that there were some inadequacies there. And I didn't want you to have a confidence in yourself, the ability to speak, because once you have the ability to speak and the confidence in yourself, you might start saying things that you didn't have any business saying. So therefore, I wanted you to realize that you couldn't do it in and of yourselves. So what did he say to Moses? He reproved Moses. Moses is here having a debate, you might say, or reasoning with the Lord and saying, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm slow to speak. And the Lord says, who made your mouth? I made your mouth. Do you realize that sometimes the insecurities and the inabilities that we have to do what we feel like the Lord may want us to do, do you realize that that's part of the gifting that the Lord gives us? Now, if you'll go, we won't, for the sake of time, read all of this, but we'll find out that Moses continued to argue with the Lord. He just would not submit and obey on this particular line. So the Lord said, I've already prepared you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let Aaron speak for you. And what did he say about Aaron? He said that Aaron was a man that was eloquent. He was a man that could speak. He didn't have any problems speaking at all. But what did he require of Aaron? Aaron, you cannot say any words that Moses doesn't tell you to say. So sometimes the Lord takes our strengths. Think fast on my feet. I'm able to speak well, people may say. But the Lord says, I want you to be quiet. And I want the person over here that can't speak very well, I want them to speak. And sometimes those of us, those that may feel like they speak well, the Lord says, I want you to be quiet and I don't want you to say anything that Aaron doesn't tell you, that Moses doesn't tell you to say. So the Lord has a way of balancing us out. One of the things that I believe that the Lord wants all of us to understand, that when we stand behind the sacred desk, or when we do anything that the Lord tells us to do, it is not us doing it. It is the Spirit of the Lord doing it through us. And so what we have to do, we have to submit ourselves to the Lord and allow ourselves to be conditioned, you might say, or trained to say only what God gives you to say, even when you're out witnessing to people. Even when you're talking on the job, even when there are people that you may know that are your relatives that may need to be saved, do you realize sometimes the Lord don't want you to speak to them? Do you realize that sometimes what the Lord wants you to do is just pray for them? Maybe the Lord doesn't want you to pull them over to the side and put your arm around them and say you need to be saved. They've heard that a million times. Alright? And sometimes they get hardened at that. So what the Lord wants you and I to understand is He wants to use us in the winning of souls, but there may be a different way that He wants to do it. Sometimes, I'm not saying that He doesn't want you to go and speak to those individuals and say to them that I'm praying for you, you need to be saved. That in its place is just what the Lord wants you to do. But there are some times that the Lord just wants you to live a life before Him. And there are some times that the Lord just wants you to put your arm around Him and say, I love you. The Lord loves you. Don't go any further than that. Whatever the Lord gives you to say, that's what you're to say at that particular time. And when you do that, then the Lord, His Spirit, has the opportunity to deal with the hearts of those individuals. Let me tell you something. Prayer can go a lot further than any speech that we have, that we say to an individual. So our responsibility first must be to pray first for ourselves, to be the example. We don't want to hinder those individuals. If we're not living the kind of a life that God demands us to live, do you know we're going to be a hindrance to those individuals? When you're living this kind of a way, you're expecting me to, you're talking all this spiritual talk way up here, and I see how you live every day. Do you know that that can be a hindrance to sinners?
Yes.
Be a hindrance to saints. Our responsibility, what comes out of our mouth,
in church should be equal to what comes out of our mouths at home.
May the Lord help us.
All right. Now, a few things. Back to Moses. And Moses, as long as the rod was in Moses' hand and under Moses' control, it was limited to what could be done by it. But when he released it and he threw it down, not because I'm so tired of this and I'm so tired of having to deal with this and I throw the rod down. That wasn't how he threw it down. He threw it down out of obedience to the Lord. When he gave up control of what was in his hand, when he had control of, when he gave it up, God was able to use it. Now, in the same way, some of us, our disposition, and I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Some of our disposition, some of us have a way about us that we like controlling things. We want everything to go just like we say it should go. And if it doesn't go like that, we get a little bit upset about things, don't we? But do you realize that sometimes the Lord wants you and I to give up control of certain things? And so when we throw it down and give it to the Lord is able to use it in the way that He wants to use it. What's in your hand today? What do you have? All right? Okay, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and start at the fourth verse. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Read it, please.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me,
saying,
Before I formed thee
in the belly, I knew thee.
Before thou camest forth
out of the womb,
I sanctified thee,
and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation.
Then said I, O Lord God,
behold, I cannot speak. Lord, I can't do this.
For I am a child.
But the Lord said unto me,
Say not, I am a child.
For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee,
and whatsoever I command thee,
thou shalt speak.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee,
to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth.
The Lord said unto me,
Behold, I have put thy words in thy mouth.
See, I have this day
set thee over the nations,
over the kingdoms,
to root out, to pull down,
to destroy,
to throw down,
to build,
and to plant.
So here is Jeremiah, another man, just like any one of us. A man that had come to an age of adulthood, and the Lord had called him to a particular to be a prophet. And he felt like he couldn't do it. But the Lord said, you know what, before you were born. When you were still in the womb, I knew everything that there is to know about you. I knew what your life was going to be like. Do you realize that the Lord knew everything about your life before you were born? And do you realize that the Lord had a very specific purpose in your life before you were born? He had a very specific reason for creating you, for putting you in the environment that you're in, for putting you in the family that you were born in, for going through the difficulties that you've gone through. The Lord had a very specific purpose for every one of us here before we were born. We may say in our own mind, Lord, it doesn't seem like this makes a whole lot of sense. I don't know why you allowed these things to happen to me, or me to be born in this family, or me to be born in this place, or whatever. We may think that, but not God. God has never made a mistake. So if we can trust Him, we can trust His wisdom, that there is a purpose that He saw that one day you were going to be sitting right here, and that I was going to be sitting right here preaching this message for whatever reason. And do you know the Lord knew that before we were born? And so if He knew that before we were born, He had a specific plan for all of this coming together. I don't understand it. It's far beyond me. You don't understand it. We can't understand it. But what we can understand is, Lord, I will be in the place that You want me to be in. Lord, I know that there are difficulties in performing Your will. I'll tell you something about me. Most people don't know this, but when I was a very young boy, I was very shy. I would never stand in front of somebody and preach to them. Do you know, even today, it is not an easy thing for me to preach. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Because I know that I have to hide behind the cross and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to speak through me. But we might say, oh, Brother Darrell, it seems so easy. It's only because we obey and do what the Lord tells us to do. Alright, so here is Jeremiah called and saying, Lord, I can't speak. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you to say that. He said, because I knew who you were before you were ever born. I am the one that made your mouth. I am the one that made you like you are. And that's part of the gifting that I gave to you, because I want you to understand that there needed to be a balance here.
I believe the Lord's doing that for us. Alright? Sometimes we feel like if I had this or if I had that, I could do so much for the Lord. And if I had a little bit more money, if I had a little bit more education, or if I could speak another language or whatever it may be, I could do so much more for the Lord. But are you doing for the Lord what you can with what you have? Sometimes we have all these excuses of why we can't do what the Lord wants us to do, but we're not even doing what the Lord has told. Let me rephrase that. We have excuses for not doing a lot of things for the Lord when we're doing nothing for Him. What do you have in your hand? Mothers, do you realize you have your children in your hands? You realize that you just have a short window of time, mothers and fathers. You have a short window of time that you can influence these little children. And when they're young, you need to influence them in the ways of God. You need to pray over them. You need to lay your hands on them and ask the Lord to keep them from the evil of this world. They're in your hands right now. Pretty soon they're not going to be. Pretty soon you're going to have no control over them whatsoever, but right now they're in your hand. Those of you that may be teachers, you realize that you have the children in your hand, and for how many ever hours a day, they are your pupil, and they're watching everything that you do, and you have an influence over them. Do you realize that?
Yes.
You realize, men, we had a men's meeting today, and I thought it went very well. Do you realize that there is somebody that you influence? Every one of us have an influence over somebody. That's somebody that the Lord has put in our hand. And if we actually allow the Lord to use us in the way that He wants to, we can have an influence for the kingdom of God. Or we might say, there's nothing that I can do. These people won't listen to me. Have you given them to the Lord? Like Moses gave the rod to the Lord? Lord, here are the things that you've given me. I give them back to you. All right, let's go a little further. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Starting at verse 8. Someone else gives Mark 6 and 35.
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying,
yes.
Arise, get thee to Zarephath,
yes.
Which belongeth to Zidon.
Yes.
Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Okay, I commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. You know what one of the poorest people is? A widow? One of the poorest people that we can that in the world. She didn't have a way to make a living. But the Lord used her to sustain the prophet. Read.
And so he arose and went to Zarephath.
Yes.
And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks.
Yes.
He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink.
Yes.
And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand.
Bring me a morsel of bread.
And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth,
as the Lord thy God liveth,
I have not a cake.
I don't have a cake.
But a handful of meal in a
barrel. All I've got is a handful of meal.
And a little oil in a cruse.
I've got a little oil in a cruse.
And behold, I'm gathering two sticks.
Behold, I'm gathering two sticks.
That I may go in and dress it for me and my son.
That I may go and dress it for me and my son.
That we may eat it
and die. That we may eat it and die.
Elijah said unto her, fear not.
Fear not.
Go and do as thou hast said.
Yes.
But make me thereof a little cake first.
Yes.
Bring it unto me, and after make for thee for thy son.
Yes.
For thus saith the Lord God.
Thus saith the Lord God.
The barrel of meal shall not waste.
The barrel shall not waste.
Neither shall the cruse of oil fail.
Neither shall the cruse of oil
until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
Until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. Alright, so here's what the Lord did. This woman didn't have very much. So here we are again. Not much that I can do for the work of the Lord.
If I had more money, then I could send the prophet, I could put him up in a nice place, and I could feed him for several weeks, but all she had was a handful of meal. And what did she do? She consecrated that to the Lord, gave it up in obedience to the Lord's demand, or request, I might say, gave it up to the in obedience to the Lord's request, and you know what the Lord did? The Lord multiplied what she had. We might say, well, why would the Lord ask an elderly woman that didn't have very much, why would He ask that of her? Why would He go to a man that was rich? Or a woman that was rich? I can't answer that question, but I can say this. If you give the Lord what you have in your hand, He will make more of it.
Amen.
All right? Go Mark 6 and 35.
And when the day was now far spent,
yes,
His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place,
yes,
and now the time is far past.
Yes.
Send them away that they may go into the country round about,
yes,
and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.
They have nothing to eat.
He answered and said,
He answered unto them,
Give ye them,
give ye them to eat.
And they said,
they said unto him,
Shall we go
shall
and
we
buy
go
200
penny worth of bread,
and give them to eat? He saith unto them,
How many loaves
have ye?
Go and see.
And when they knew, they said,
Five and two fishes. Five loaves and two fishes. Read.
And He commanded them
to all sit down by companies upon the green grass.
And they sat down in
ranks.
By hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken
the five loaves and the two fishes,
He looked up to heaven,
And blessed,
and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided He
among them all.
And they did all eat,
and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now here's the situation that I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of. Again, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? The Lord is not asking you to do something that you don't have. He's not asking you to give something that you don't have the ability to give. But they had five loaves and two fishes. And what they did, somebody that had the little boy that had the five loaves and the two fishes, he was willing to give that up and sanctify it unto the Lord. When he gave it to the Lord, what did Jesus do? He took it and he blessed it, he prayed over it, and he broke it, and then he began to give it out. Give out just what was there. And 5,000 men and women and children were able to eat off of just a very little bit. In the same way, I just want to encourage us today. Maybe we don't have much. Maybe we are looking at all of what everybody else has and longing and wishing that I had that and then I could really give to the Lord. No, that's not what the Lord's saying to us. What the Lord is saying to us today is, give what you have. Give it to me. Allow me to bless it and break it, and not only will everybody around you eat, but you'll be able to eat even more. May the Lord help us. There is something about that as we give what God has given us. What does any of us have that God has not given us? Wherever we are, wherever we live, whatever the circumstances of our lives are right now, God allowed us to be in those circumstances, and so He knows what's best for us. So what He's saying to us is, I knew that you didn't have very much. I knew that you didn't have the ability to speak. I knew that maybe you couldn't sing like everybody else. But there are some things that I gave you that I didn't give to anybody else. And I'm expecting you to give those things back to me. It may not be monetary. It may not be food. It may be just the ability. What did He say? He gave talents to each one according to their several abilities. We realize that the Lord has given every single one of us in here a talent that He wants to use for His glory and honor. And the only way, what some people are doing, is they have beautiful singing voices and whatnot. What do? Do they give it back to the Lord? No. They go out and they become rich and famous and sing it to the world and give it to the world. Allow the enemy to use it. If the Lord could use just that simple talent. Weren't you blessed by the special songs?
Yeah.
And weren't you blessed by the young people maybe some of them don't like getting up here and seeing, oh, I got to go and do it again, but wasn't it a blessing to you? They gave what they had. Well, maybe, well, some of them are probably, I'm sure that this is what some of the young folks have said. Well, I can't sing like you. No, you lead. No, you lead. Well, I don't want to get up there. I don't have a beautiful voice. Give what you have.
That's right.
The Lord made your voice like it is. Give what you have.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. I believe if we can get a hold of that, I believe that the church would go much further. This is a message to the church. This is a message not just to the church, but it's a message to those that are not saved today. The Lord made you with the abilities that you have, with the inabilities that you have. And the Lord can strengthen you in the situations that you find yourself in. May the Lord help us. Let's go a little further. Remove the word of conclusion here. All right? 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6. And let's read Jeremiah 18. We have that. 18 and 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6.
And yet again there was a war at Gath.
Yes.
Where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20.
Yes.
6 on each hand and 6 on each foot.
Yes.
And he also was the son of a giant.
Yes. Son of a giant.
But when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, yes, David's brother, slew him.
Yes.
These were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant.
Yes. That's not actually the scripture that I want. We'll move on.
Second Chronicles. Said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?
That's what I want, yes.
And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?
Yes.
And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?
Alright, in whose hand? In God's hand. Power and might. You might be weak. I might be weak. But what's in God's hand, there is no weakness.
Yes.
So the responsibility of ours is to put ourselves in God's hand. And allow Him to use us the way that He wants to use. In thy hand is power and might. Let's go to Jeremiah 18, verse 1.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house.
Yes.
There I will cause thee to hear my word.
I'll cause you to hear my word.
And I went down to the potter's
house.
And behold, he brought a work
of wheels.
And the vessel
and
that,
he made of clay
was marred
in the hand of the potter.
So he made
another vessel
that seemed good to the potter to make it.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying,
O house of Israel,
cannot I do with you
potter,
as with this potter,
saith the Lord.
Behold,
the clay is
in the potter's hand,
so are ye in my hand,
O house of Israel. Now, this is what the Lord desires. Like a potter making a vessel out of clay, the Lord desires to mold you and make you what He wants you to be. Well, many of the testimonies that we've heard since we've been here, they have said, I want to be what the Lord would have you to be. Could you imagine if that form of clay could have feelings? What it would feel like to be molded into something? Perhaps it would be wonderful. Perhaps it would be painful. In the same way, as the Lord allows us to go through the trials and the testings of our lives, the Lord is molding us in His hands to be what He wants us to be. In order for us to be vessels of honor unto the Lord, He has to mold us into that, and we have to allow Him to do it. We have to give up our own will, our own ability, our own desires, and allow the Lord to use us in the capacity that He wants to use us. If we allow Him to do that, He'll do it for us.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us. All right? So He wants to use you. He wants to mold you like He does, the potter does the clay. All right? Let's go to Job, the 11th chapter, 14th verse. Have to read it for us.
If iniquity be in thine hand,
What's in your hand? If iniquity be in thine hand,
put it far away.
Put it far away.
And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle.
Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. He's just talking to folks that don't know the Lord. If wickedness is in your hand, if this is what you're doing, iniquity is in your hand, what do? Drop it. May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you today. One of the things that I've learned, the Lord sees even when mankind doesn't. Even when we can hide it from everybody around us, God sees it. He knows exactly what you're holding. What you're holding on to, what you love, what you're holding in your hand, God knows exactly what it is. If it's iniquity, release it. Matthew 25, verse 14.
Kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country.
Yes.
He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents.
Gave another 5 talents. Yes.
To another one. Every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey.
And then he took his journey.
He
that had received 5 talents.
Went and traded with the same. And made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received two.
He also gained other two.
But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money.
After a long time, the Lord goes to reckon with them.
So he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents.
Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto us five talents.
Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. The Lord said unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
I will make thee ruler over many things.
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also then received two talents, and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents.
Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them.
His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things.
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that received the one talent came.
Said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man.
Reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid.
When he hid thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou hast that is thine.
His Lord answered and said, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow, and gather what I have not sown.
Put thy money to the exchangers.
And at my coming I should have received usury.
All right, that's good enough. So what we have here is the Lord is giving men talents according to their several abilities. He gave one 5 talents, he gave another 2 talents, and he gave one talent. Now, let's say for instance that all of us here are individuals with just 1 talent. That's all we have. Nothing more, nothing less. And we can look across the way and we can see somebody else that has 5 talents. And there is in human nature a desire to be a little bit jealous. And we can say in our own mind, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I was like this individual. And if we're not careful, we'll look at the little bitty talent that we call a little bitty talent, and we'll say that this is not much, and it's not as good as his talent. I can't do it as well as Brother John or Brother Otten. I can't do it as well as him, so I'm not going to do it at all. And Lord, I'm just going to take this little talent that you've given me and I'm going to set it here. I'm not going to destroy it, but I'm not going to use it like you want me to. Alright? Now, I can look over there and I can say if I had 2 talents, then I could really do something for God. Or I can say if I had 5 talents, I could really do something for the Lord. But I only have 1 and it's not that important anyway. And the Lord, if it was that important, the Lord would have given me something greater. The Lord has given every one of us according to our several ability. According to the ability and according to our inability. God has given us a talent. And what He expects is for us to use it and for us to multiply it and for us not to excuse ourselves for not doing it. Alright? No matter what everybody else has, no matter what everybody else is doing, our responsibility is going to be between me and God. And when God comes, I'm not going to be able to say, well, Lord, the reason I didn't do it is because this brother over here could do it so much better than I could, and therefore I just didn't want to do it. One of the goals that God is trying to get over to every one of us is obedience. Don't look at your fellow man, just look at what I've given you. And so what did he say? The man that had 5 talents, it could be that this is just a test. You know what? When I was a little boy, I said, when I was a little boy, I couldn't sing at all. I couldn't hold a tune in the bucket, as they say. And I had a brother like this, too, that could not hold a tune at all, was a very bad singer. But the rest of our family, most of our family were very good singers. I had some sisters and brothers that were very, very good singers. But there were some things that I could do. I could draw. You could give me a piece of paper or whatever, and I could draw very well. And I loved doing it. And I did it all the time. So I used what little I had. And you know what the Lord did? And I liked to sing. So I kept singing. And you know what the Lord did? He gave me the ability to sing. You know the Lord, if you use what you have, the Lord will double it.
Amen.
You want to do more for the Lord? Use what you've got. This is the principle here. Use what you have. And the Lord will double it. I guarantee you this time next year you'll be doing something you never thought you'd be able to do. Because you're using what God gives you. This is what this is the whole essence of the message today. If you don't remember anything else that I say, use what the Lord has already given you. What did he say to the servant that didn't use it? Say you're a slothful servant. I gave you that. It may have just been a test to see if you would obey me. And maybe that's something that I wanted to give you something even greater, but if you didn't take care of the little bitty things, you're not going to take care of anything great. And you know what? That slothful servant was cast into outer darkness. For there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26.
You see your calling, brethren.
You see your calling, brother?
And let not many wise men after the flesh.
So you wish you were smart, huh? Oh, I wish I was smart. But you see, your calling, brother, not many wise men after the flesh.
Not many mighty.
Not many mighty.
Not many noble.
Not many noble
are called. But God has chosen,
The foolish things of this world
to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world.
And things which are despised.
As God chosen.
Yea, things which are not.
To bring to naught things that are.
That no flesh should glory in His presence. Now there is something that I want to bring up here. The Lord has chosen certain things that people feel is foolish. Maybe the way you're living, people think that's foolish, don't they? Some people do. Why are you living such a strict life? Because God has chosen that. And it says here that God has chosen the base things of the world and things which are despised as God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know what? This is a beautiful country. When you go out into the sea and you see the beauty that God has created here in this place, it's one of the most beautiful places that I've been to. What did God make it from?
Nothing.
He made it from nothing. So you know what our greatest asset is? Our nothingness. If you want God to make something out of you, you know what you have to do? You have to become nothing. You can't think of yourself as being something of some great importance. You can't look at yourself as being as deserving anything. Because in order for God to make something beautiful out of your life, the only way that it can happen is that you become nothing. What could we have done? What if we were there with the Lord in the creation when He said, "Let there be light," would we have been able to say in our own mind, "Lord, no, don't do it this way. Why don't you do it?" How could we have made that ocean any more beautiful than what it is? Anybody got any ideas? No way to make it more beautiful. If anything, when man begins to do something with God's creation, he messes it up, doesn't he? In the same way, when we begin to do things independent of God, we begin to mess up our lives. So God has chosen these things which are not to bring to... What does it say? God has chosen the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. So, the wonderful thing about your inability and about your insecurity and about the fact that you can't do it and you don't have the ability to do it, the wonderful thing about that is that you realize that you're nothing and God realizes that you're nothing, and now God can make something out of that. Something beautiful out of it. And this is what the Lord wants out of every one of our lives. There's nobody here that the Lord doesn't want to make something beautiful out of your life. All right. Philippians 3, verse 12, for our closing scripture. I want to bring to mind something that we say is God, before we even existed, God was creating us to be what He wanted us to be. When we were nothing, God was creating us to be what He wanted us to be. Philippians 3, verse 12.
Not as though I had already attained.
Not as though I had already attained.
Either were already perfect.
Or yet it was already perfect.
But I follow after. If I may apprehend.
That for which also I am apprehended. Of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
But this one thing I do.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
Reaching forth into those things which are before.
I press toward the mark.
For the prize of the high calling of God.
In Christ Jesus. Now, what I believe the Lord wants us to get out of this is that, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also and apprehended of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that the Lord has grasped us, each one of us, and He's wanted us, He wanted to make something of us. And so He apprehended us. And so what I want to do, now the focus of my life, the focus of your life must be, Lord, whatever it is that You have apprehended me and saved me for, I want to be that. Whatever You created me for, when You created me in the womb, and You put me in these circumstances, and You gave me these abilities and these inabilities, there is some place in the scheme of things that I fit right there, and there's a place that only I fit. Nobody else fits there. See, I could preach to you, but there is a group of individuals that you know that I don't know, and nobody else in here knows. And nobody else in here can touch the people, some of the people that you can touch in the way that you can touch them.
Yes.
So I believe what the Lord wants of us today is He wants us to stop using our excuses.
Yes.
Stop justifying our inactivity. Stop justifying our disobedience, really. Stop justifying why I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it because... And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to look at your brother. I don't want you to look and see how well they can do it. All I want you to look at is how well You can do it. And when we've given what God has given us, when we give it back to Him, He has the ability to multiply it. What's in your hand today? What's the Lord given you? What do you have that the Lord has created for you and for His glory? What do you have that you can give back to Him that can be a blessing, not only to the Lord, but to yourself and to the kingdom of God? May the Lord help us. Pray for me.